Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. We figure the weekend is a good time for that. Time to lean back a little, slow down, meet somebody interesting, hear what people are saying. Of course, when we're not on the radio, you can catch up with us on Facebook. Just search Indiana Weekend. And we'd love to hear your thoughts about the show, your comments, thoughts about whom we might talk with, or where you would like to hear our microphones. Our email address is, conveniently enough, indianaweekend@gmail.com. I'm John Strauss. When it comes to tourism, Hoosiers tend to make the most of what we have. That may be why we have a museum in Huntington dedicated to vice presidents. Five vice presidents, including Dan Quayle, made their homes in Indiana, more than any state but New York. How about that? But aside from the Benjamin Harrison home in Indianapolis, we don't have many historical sites related to actual presidents. Well, now a Tipton County man is trying to change that. You may know that President Barack Obama's great-great-great-grandfather came from Tipton County, north of Indy. Obama's mother was Ann Dunham, and the Dunhams settled on former Miami Indian land near what is now Kempton in the 1840s. In the 1880s, a farmhouse was built on the property, and it survives today. Obama visited the Dunham House when he was running for president to see where his ancestors came from. The 5,000-square-foot farmhouse has been in very bad shape, but is now owned by a building contractor named Sean Christopher Clements. How he got the place, what he plans to do with it, and the reaction of folks out there to the revelation that Obama is a son of the local soil, well, that's our story for today. First, meet Sean Clements.
Well, I found it on the internet. I was looking at a house in Noblesville, and I saw this one also. I do historic preservation, and I've done some buildings in downtown Noblesville. I came out, I called the realtor to come and look at the house, and I'll never forget, I walked in the front door, and I saw the staircase, all tiger oak, original bevel glass mirror, and I knew the house had great bones. But it was rough. I mean, it had orange and green shag carpet. Nothing had been touched since the 60s and 70s. It was rough. Paneling everywhere, drop ceilings. But that didn't scare me away because it's what I do. But the realtor had sat down and he said, you know, go ahead and take your time. I've shown this house 20 times and everybody says the same thing. It's a great old house. It's way too much work. They were right. I mean, it had to be rewired, replumbed. So we went through all that process. There was four furnaces in the house when I first bought it, all LP gas and fuel oil. And so we removed all that. Everything's all electric now. Okay. So we've cut down to two furnaces, and we're a lot more efficient than what we used to be.
Tell us what we're looking at. We've walked in here. The wood is terrific. Look at these floors.
Yeah, the floors were done by a friend of mine, Sean Shuck, who's a fantastic artist. I mean, he's just not a flooring guy. He's an artist. And they had six coats of lacquer and paint, because that's what they used to just add on all the time. And so the problem with these floors that we had is that they're red pine, or in the South they call them heart pine, but it's a very soft wood. And believe it or not, even after 120 years, there's still sap that likes to come up when you sand these floors down, so it clogs up the sandpaper and you got to change all this stuff out and everything. So the floors were probably the most difficult part, and I knew I wanted him to do them. But
this is a big house, isn't it? I mean, we're in sort of the foyer here, yeah. And you have a picture of President Obama and Michelle.
First lady. Yeah, these are the official White House photos of both of them, and they were sent to us afterwards.
What was it like when they came here?
You know, it was very cold that day, and the original plan was for them to have a picnic lunch on the lawn with some of the local people and things like that, and the weather turned really bad. They were in Noblesville before they came here, and the wind was very strong, very cold, and so it cut down on their time here. We kind of scrapped plans for the dinner, but they still visited with everybody. But his first request when he came up to me was to go to the other side of the house, because there were just hundreds of reporters on the south side of the house. CNN was out there. There was a big satellite truck in the middle of a cornfield, you know. And he wanted to go to the north side and just talk about his family, because he had no idea that this was here, and he wanted to know everything about it.
As we walk in here, this is a room.
This was their main living area. This in the master bedroom are the two largest rooms in the house, and they're at their largest point, this is 22 by 30. And this would be their main entertaining area with the bay windows. As you can see down here, we've got a lot of the oak, the tiger oak that comes through with the baseboards and all the casing around the doors and the windows and the carved flowers around the windows too are all original.
So this was a prominent family.
They did well. I mean, originally in 1849, Jacob Dunham got a land grant when Zachary Taylor was president, and they had 120 acres that they bought, and over the years, it was for $500, or excuse me, $250, at $50 a year, no interest, five-year mortgage, and which was probably pretty rough at the time. I mean, this was a pretty raw area back then. And the land had been handed down. That was President Obama's fourth great-grandparents. And it was handed down to his third great, his second great, the Dunham side of his family. We're all here, lived here, were married here. And then as that line moved on to Kansas, where his mother was born, his grandfather, the land stayed in the family of the Dunhams just on a brother. And then it got passed down all the way to 1969. But Riley Dunham, who built the house, we believe around the 1880s, was a member of the General Assembly, and he represented Tipton County and Hamilton County both at the same time in the General Assembly. And he had unmasked that 120 acres to over 2,000, which wrapped all around the house. He was a pretty predominant guy. He was, you know, I think he was a county clerk at one time, and he had kind of worked his way up politically as a Democrat to the Democratic Party and had served several county positions and so forth. And when he retired as head of the Democratic Party here, I had found his bio where he had actually introduced FDR when he came to town when he was running, talking about the League of Nations at the time. And so we also know that he knew President Grover Cleveland and named his son Grover Cleveland Dunham, who was a doctor who graduated from Purdue in 1906 with his brother. So there's a lot of doctors, teachers in their families. Education was a huge, and it shows. When I go over, you know, all of these backgrounds of all of these people, I see the similarities from them that have carried forward to the president. It's very obvious, even the way they look.
So to put it in the simplest way possible, President Obama's mother,
Ann Dunham,
mm-hmm. her father, Stanley, mm-hmm. They were born in Kansas. Mm-hmm. Stanley was born in Kansas.
Yes.
Stanley was the son of?
Ralph Waldo Emerson Dunham.
Okay. And did Ralph Dunham live here?
Ralph was in Kansas also, which was the president's great-grandfather.
Yeah.
Everybody before them was here.
Okay.
And that's just one line, though. That's just the Dunham line. But the Dunhams married into the Goodnight family, which is a huge family here. The mayor of Kokomo, Indiana, Greg Goodnight, is part of that family. And the Stroop family and the Kearney family. And those families, the president has a set of fifth great-grandparents that are buried here. And they were born in the 1700s. That's how far back his roots go. And they are direct fifth great grandparents. He has a set of fifth great, two sets of fourth, a set of third, and a set of seconds that were either born here, married here, lived here, or were buried here. And then, of course, literally thousands of aunts, uncles, and cousins that are either buried here or still alive, living here in the county.
Sean Clements, owner of the home of President Barack Obama's mother's family west of Tipton, about an hour north of Indianapolis. For more details, you can check out the DunhamHouse.com website with photos and more information. When we come back, the reaction of some local folks to learning that the first black president has rural Indiana roots.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook. And drop us a line to let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
Barack Obama visited Indiana nearly 50 times when he was running for president in 2008. One of those stops was a little different than the usual campaign swing, however. Obama, who was raised by his maternal grandparents in Hawaii, stopped by a windswept piece of ground in Tipton County to see the place where his mother's family, the Dunhams, once lived. His mother, Ann Dunham, came from Kansas, but the family previously lived in what is now Kempton, in the flat farmland about an hour north of Indy. Today, the Dunham farmhouse is owned by a former Noblesville contractor who would like the public to know more about the president's Indiana roots. Sean Christopher Clements bought the house, which was in really bad shape, and has been restoring it. He was delighted that Obama came to visit in 2008, but noticed that not everybody was thrilled to find out about the Obama connection.
You know, it's kind of a mixed bag. When they came here, some of those cousins that he had never met were invited here also to meet him, and they're very happy about it. But you know, there will always be a group of people. That's one of the things that I've learned about. It's very funny to me is that, you know, this may not be the history you prefer, but it doesn't make any less important. And I've said that a million times, because you get people that want to come here and they want to talk about foreign policy and they want to talk about this. You know, this has always been about history for me. It's never been about politics. I mean, I got my own ideas like anybody else, but I mean, it amazes me that I still get people that will say, well, you know, this is really a stretch. I mean, this side of his family is so far removed from him, and I don't know what the...
That's not really true, is it?
I don't know what the stretch is. The census records aren't a stretch. The marriage licenses aren't a stretch. The land grants, the deeds, the burial plots. I will challenge anyone to find a deeper part of this man's history in any other place in this country than right here. It always amazes me that there's still that... There's just some people that want to... you know, they don't care about the facts. They care about their opinion more than anything.
Here you're a historic preservationist. I mean, you see this house, and you took it on, even though it was pretty rough.
Very rough.
And then tell me what happened. How did you come to find out the Obama connection?
Well, what had happened was it took about 6 months just to clear the house out, just to be able to work in it. And then you had about a year of destruction of getting everything out. And during that process, I mean, there was just no place to put this stuff. So we were just literally just pitching it out the front door. And a elderly lady had stopped by, and she said that, you know, when I was a little girl, and she was probably mid-80s or so, and she said, you know, when I was a little girl, I used to come by here, and this was the grandest house in the county, and this family was so nice. And I used to come here because they had three daughters, and used to have slumber parties here. We used to roller skate on the third floor and, you know, have a grand time. And they were very important people, and you should maybe look that up. And so that was the last thing I had time to do. I mean, this was a major mess. And before she left, she said, oh, and by the way, she said, I think President Grover Cleveland visited this house. Everybody knows that around here. So I went looking for some type of evidence that President Cleveland had been here. And then I found out that Riley's son was Dr. Grover Cleveland Dunham. You either have to really like the president or know him to name your kid at the time. And so I couldn't find that picture. And so what had happened was I just Google searched Riley Dunham to see, you know, if he was an important guy. And they had a list of his accomplishments and things they had done in the Indiana legislation and so forth. But then below his name, there was an article from the Chicago Sun-Times. This was 2006,
okay.
I think it was. And so I thought, well, that's weird. Why are my guys in the Chicago Sun-Times? So I pulled up this article, and there was this big family tree that started at the bottom. And there they were. There were pictures of it. It said, you know, the Dunhams, Tipton County, Indiana, farmers, school teachers, doctors, et cetera. What had happened, I couldn't figure out why this was in the Chicago Sun-Times. And then I scrolled the top of it, and it said the complete family history of Senator Barack Obama. And I had seen him, the first time I really recognized him was 2004 when he gave the big speech at the DNC and so forth. And I knew who he was. And I go to D.C. a couple times a year for a couple of things. And I'd found some pictures in the house. And I didn't know who to give them to. So when he was a senator, I stopped off at his office. And he was very new. I think it was the first year he was in there. And there were no pictures on the walls, you know, nothing. And some lady was sitting behind the desk, and the phone wasn't ringing. And I just walked in there and said, you know, I found this old house, and I fixed it up. And I'm pretty sure this is members of his family. And I just left him a note saying, hey, you know, I think I gotta have these, but, you know, I don't want anything, not looking for anything. I just, you know, if somebody found these in my family, I'd want them. So good luck to you. And I never heard anything for a while. And then I got the call when he was running from his campaign that they were wanting to come out. So that was a whole process to get him out here.
It was at that time that there was a big media presence and everything.
Oh, yeah. You know, the first African-American, potentially first African-American president was who really had a shot at winning this thing. And this was still during the primaries when he was running against Hillary Clinton. And I know when he came here, the Indiana primary was, I think, a couple of days later, 3 or 4 days later. And he was pretty much getting ready to close it out. And He did. She won Indiana, but it wasn't by a big enough margin for her to stay in the race. So, you know, there he was. He was ready for the general election. And I thought to myself at that time, if he wins, this is going to change a lot. And it did.
Sean Christopher Clements, a former contractor from Noblesville who bought a rundown old farmhouse out in Tipton County and came to find out it was the home of the Dunham family on land that President Obama's third great-grandfather lived on before part of the family moved to Kansas, where Obama's mother, Ann Dunham, was born. TheDunhamHouse.com is a website where you can find more information. When we come back, more of the reaction to Obama's white Indiana roots, some of it not so pleasant.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss, right here on Indiana Public Radio.
A central Indiana man who bought a dilapidated farmhouse years ago and then discovered it was the former home of President Obama's white ancestors is making a documentary about the president's Indiana family. The Dunham House is on the property bought by the president's fourth great-grandfather in the 1840s. Sean Christopher Clements owns it and says a new film will help explain Obama's Hoosier roots.
It's the Dunham House film project. It just was shot back in late September. A lot of the stuff started coming out of the woodwork that we didn't have before, a lot of photos, a lot of letters and things like that. So we're cataloging all this stuff and everything. And it's not going to focus on so much his presidency. This is bios on those people that were here. And I think people are going to be really surprised when you find out the type of people that were here. You know, one of his more interesting uncles, his third great uncle, John Stroop, was actually president at the Lincoln Conspiracy, the hanging of Lincoln conspirators. He was a garrison guard there. He's one of the guys standing on top of the wall in that famous photo when these guys are getting ready to be hung. And, you know, there's several people like that that are very fascinating, bios, doctors, educators, and some of the people that are still around here of a certain generation. One of them, ironically, Carolyn Dunham, was my sixth grade teacher, which I thought was a little ironic, but she remembered several people around her, and she's interviewed as well. But it's not the story of his life, you know, from birth to the time he was president, like you just see a lot of documentaries. This is a documentary about what we feel like made him a large part of what he is. And as you know, there's several documentaries out there that are, let's just say, a little more negative than what I'd like. And one thing that I'm always fascinated by all of these, the latest one, the 2016 one that came out, that it was, you know, the film tag was, you know, love him or hate him, you don't know him. And, you know, they traveled to all these different continents where he lived. And what kills me is I don't think that you can make a documentary about what makes this guy who he is, and nobody's ever talked to me. I think there's a lot of picking and choosing of the negative stuff that fits neatly into an hour or 2 hour package. But I would say with the research that we've done, this president has as many, if not more, Revolutionary War soldiers, officers in his family, dozens of Civil War soldiers, a lot of them from Indiana, in Indiana regiments. I think if you're going to draw a complete picture of this man, then I think you need to talk about everything. And that includes the things that are very honorable and very historic and very American. Whether, like I said, people like that or not, that's the great thing about history. That's where the truth is.
And so you're explaining to someone, somebody who drives up or something, and they go, oh, I understand this is the ancestral home of the president. The simplest way to put it is his third great-grandfather?
It is a little confusing. It starts with the land itself. Okay, the land has been in their family since 1849 to 1969. And the house was built on it about 40 years later. And you've had, that was his fourth great-grandfather, Dunham, that was the original land holder. And it was passed down for generation after generation after generation. And even after that, his line moved to Kansas, the other side of that family stayed here and maintained the land and built the house and everything. There's really no place, I mean, in Kansas, there's not really, you know, an older house. You know, his grandparents moved around a lot. They lived in Seattle for a while. I think they lived in Texas for a while. I haven't found anything else that is this deep. I think there's a place out in New Jersey that might be one of his fourth or fifth great-grandfather's places. That's now a church or something like that. I haven't been out there. But in Hawaii, there's an apartment. You know, the places where they lived in Kansas, there's not a big old farm or anything like that. So this man's history, and this isn't uncommon. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't have, you know, their fourth great-grandfather's house still standing and it's still in the family and all that kind of thing. But with this, I think when people are so eager to say, this is a real stretch or this is no big deal, they obviously haven't researched the history. They haven't been to the website. They haven't been out here. They haven't talked to me. You know, all of this is not made up.
You know, hate to bring it up, but is race a part of it? I mean, the fact that you're talking about an African-American fellow and his roots in a very white part of Indiana?
Well, you know, it's no secret that Tipton County was a very big stronghold for the Klan for a long time. And if you go down to the Indiana State Museum, unfortunately, that's how Tipton County is represented by an old black and white photo of a Klan rally, I think in the 20s or 30s that was held here. And there's always, you know, a lot of those old habits die hard. And this is an isolated area, and you will get some of that. I mean, I remember, you know, 5 minutes after he won the election in 2008, I got a couple pretty nasty phone calls from some guys who said they were with the Klan. And we've had some pretty rough emails here and there, but a lot of it has really subsided a lot. I think that initial shock has kind of wore off, and it's not as crazy to them as it was. And that's not to say everybody here has an issue with it, but I'm sure there are some who do, as well as there are in other parts of the country. But that's the great story about this, is that, you know, this territory, this land was Miami Indian territory before the Dunhams owned it. And, you know, a lot of their ancestors were put on the Trail of Tears and driven out to Oklahoma. And you have Native American history here for hundreds of years. And this was actually the last piece of land that the Miami owned in the state. This was the final reserve that they had hunting and fishing rights on until they gave it up when Tipton became a county in 1844. And so the government comes in and they parcel all this off, and you have this, you know, westward expansion of these great pioneer families that are risking it all, coming from Virginia and Pennsylvania, you know, down and through Ohio. And then you have the first African-American president, and that's the American story. That's the true American story.
John Christopher Clements, owner of the Dunham House in Tipton County. President Barack Obama visited in 2008 while running for president to see the Indiana land that was in his mother's family dating to the 1840s. No word on any future Obama visits, but Clements says for now he'll settle for everyday folks interested in the state's connection with the president's own diverse history. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com to say hi, or if you would like more information. Reminder that we also need your stories, your ideas for places we should go and people we should talk to. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.